Hello, this is Mary, and I'll be reading selections from the Pantograph from Monday, March 16th, 2026. The front page, much of the front page, was a picture story talking about the St. Patrick's Day Parade, which was held on Saturday, March 14th, and it says, Parade backs Bright Point. Uptown event benefits nonprofit that supports young children. And there was a photo of the Normal Fire Department getting ready to step off, leading the sharing of the green St. Patrick's Day Parade. Members of Bright Point, formerly Children's Home and Aid, carry a large Irish flag to collect donations during the parade. All proceeds benefits Bright Point's home visiting programs for families with children prenatal to 5 years old. And other pictures of things that were in the parade, various floats and such. A young family with a young lady all dressed in green with green ribbons in her hair sitting along the sidewalk of Uptown Normal. There were hundreds of families that lined Uptown to see the parade, and again, many of them seemed to be dressed in green. And Wishbone Canine Rescue was marching during the annual sharing of the green St. Patrick's Day Parade held in Downtown Normal on Saturday the 14th. Also on the front page, Illinois, Disability Savings Program Broadens by Nicole Heitrich, Capital News, Illinois, Springfield. Approximately a quarter million more Illinoisans with a disability are now eligible for savings accounts that allow them to save and invest money to improve their quality of life without risking their federal benefits, such as Medicaid or Supplemental Security Income. As of January 1st, Achieving a Better Life Experience accounts, or ABLE accounts, are available to people who acquired their disability before the age of 46. Distributions from these accounts are tax-free as long as the money is used for disability-related expenses. The expanded program now includes approximately 6 million Americans and 800,000 veterans. I think this is a game changer for a lot of people, Illinois Treasurer Mike Frerich said at a news conference. Account owners in Illinois may be able to take state income tax deductions up to $10,000 if filing as an individual. Save and invest up to $20,000 a year. If they're working, they can add up to $35,000 a year. Contribute up to $100,000 without affecting federal benefits, and family and friends can also contribute. Before the ABLE program, Frerich said, families told him they worried about saving and investing to ensure their children with disabilities would have financial security in the future because of the risk they might lose their benefits. We created a system that put parents in a horrible position, but now we have a solution that allows them to do more long-term planning and to truly set their kids up for a better life experience, he said. The ABLE program was created by federal law in 2014, and the age adjustment passed in 2022 and went into effect this year. Before 2014, people with disabilities were unable to have assets worth more than $2,000 without losing access to benefits like SSI and Medicaid. Martha Younger White, who manages employment services and rehab programs for Lighthouse, Illinois, said many of Lighthouse's clients hadn't qualified for the ABLE program because their conditions, like glaucoma and diabetes, happened later in life. Many of our clients need the advantages of assistive technology, which is expensive, and in some ways they'd have to choose maybe between their transportation and their health care, she said. This will improve their health, their independence, and quality of life. What I've learned, and what I think so many people with disabilities know, is that living with a disability just costs more, said Stephanie Cantor, director of the Illinois ABLE program, at the news conference. Cantor acquired her disability when she was 26, only a few months beyond the original cutoff for eligibility for these accounts. She said there were multiple ways an ABLE account could have helped her pay for expenses, such as modifying her home and car for wheelchair accessibility. But before ABLE and before becoming an account owner, if I had a large expense in particular, I had to ask myself where that money was going to come from, she said. If she couldn't come up with the money, she might have to go without something that would make her life better. With my account, I can now start saving and investing for these types of expenses, Cantor said. I already know what I'm starting to save for. To open an ABLE account or to get more information, eligible and authorized Illinoisans can go to online to illinoisable.com. Turning to page 2, today's flick fact. Question. Times change a lot. For example, in 1857, in the days when Abraham Lincoln traveled through central Illinois, this newspaper once scolded local druggists for failing to stock enough of what? Answer. Leeches. Yes, slimy flat worms, as they were called then, widely used for medicinal purposes in the 1800s. In 1857, Bloomington had a severe shortage, prompting the Pantograph to editorially complain, "We are at a loss to understand why leeches are not kept on hand by our druggists. There is no good reason why our physicians should be compelled to send to Chicago to apply leeches." Perhaps amazingly, according to modern medical sources, in some cases, leeches are still used in medicine today. How time flies. 100 years ago, March 16th, 1926. Perhaps the man who knows the most about the sellers of Bloomington business houses and homes is John Becker, city water meter reader. Here and there, the water meter will find an immaculately kept cellar, but they are very rare, and like the attic, they are a great catch-all and junk receptacle. 75 years ago, March 16, 1951, looking a bit worse for wear, a forlorn snowman, the last, we hope, replica of a tough winter, still stood in the yard at 308 South Leland Street. Warmer temperatures did not help his appearance. 50 years ago, March 16, 1976, what do you do if your violin string breaks, ploink, in the middle of Bach? If you are Yehudi Menuhin, you apologize to the audience, "So sorry," exit gracefully, and return moments later, restrung instrument in hand. The 60-year-old artist resumed at an appropriate place, continuing as if nothing had happened. 25 years ago, March 16, 2001, he is a full-time student and a full-time teacher and has student loans. He is also buying a house. So it is no surprise 28-year-old Chris Mushrush is thrilled. He is qualified to be a contestant on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and flies to New York City next week for the taping of a show, which will run in April. "I am still on adrenaline high," said Mushrush, a 3-year resident of Normal, who teaches economics at Illinois State University. "When the cell phone rang, I nearly went through the roof," he said. Turning to page 3, local news, Bloomington Normal NAACP. Expo talks health, spirit, community. Groups push financial voter education. More events planned in 2026 by D. Jack Alkery, Bloomington. The first of 3 community educational presentations kicked off Saturday with the Mind, Body, Spirit, and Community Expo at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, hosted by the Bloomington Normal branch of the NAACP. The expo was organized by both the Political Action and the Health Committees of the local NAACP and featured presentations on financial investments, voter education, breast cancer information, and testimonies, as well as a free lunch. At first glance, it might seem a strange collection of topics for an expo, but there is a common theme tying them together, said Georgine Chisel, co-organizer of the expo and chair of the Political Action Committee. Each topic is an area that disproportionately affects Black Americans. That's the common thread, African Americans, she said. We have issues with money, work, which goes back to money. We struggle with health issues and not having insurance to go to a primary care doctor. To that end, she teamed up with Willie Holton Halbert, chair of the Health Committee, to create an event to educate the community in Bloomington Normal what services are available. Their next expos will be in June and September. For Saturday's event, vendor booths included the League of Women Voters, McLean County Health Department, Life Center for Independent Living, Projects XV Museum, and Cranton Sparks Financial Wellness. Several women who have survived breast cancer also had the opportunity to share their experiences with those in attendance. By them sharing their story on how they got their mammogram, how they found out, their journey, their choices, they can help others sitting out there realize, I'm not by myself, Holton Halbert said, and more importantly, get your mammogram. Women 40 and over should be screened for breast cancer yearly, she said, but especially if they have a family history of cancer. This is especially important for women of color, Holton Halbert said, as their chances of dying from breast cancer are far greater than women who are not minorities. Black women, women of color, their mortality rate is 3 times higher. Where they say breast cancer is going down for white women's mortality rate, ours is 3 times more, she said. Events like this also help build community for people who may be experiencing an illness like cancer, Holton Halbert said. Everybody has somebody. Even if you don't think you have somebody, if you just open up and let the walls down and share, you find that people will come together for each other. This expo, as will the ones that follow throughout the year, also served as a chance to educate voters and help them find out how to register, Chisel said. We don't tell people who to vote for. We just want them to vote, she said. But Chisel said it is paramount to know the field of candidates before casting a ballot. If you don't have a computer, that's fine. Your phone works just as well. Search out who's running on your ballot. You can go online and see all of that. It's important that this year people vote like your life depends on it, she said. And there was a photo along with this story. Left to right, Hildred Dones, Janice Cooper, and Beverly Bell sharing their experiences as breast cancer survivors at the Mind, Body, Spirit, and Community Expo, hosted by the Bloomington Normal branch of the NAACP. From the sports section, Bison rally to win in overtime. Porter scores game winner against Fort Wayne on feed from Mac by Allison Petty, Bloomington. 2 days after signing with the Bison, Grant Porter scored his first professional goal to lead the team to a 3-2 overtime win over Fort Wayne. Shongmin Lee tied the game 1-1 for Bloomington in the first period before the Bison fell behind in the second. They stayed down by a goal until, with just 88 seconds left in the third period, defenseman Nikita Sedov scored to force overtime. Porter, who recorded 2 assists in his pro debut the previous night, scored the game winner off a feed from Sullivan Mack. Goaltender Callum Tung blocked 25 shots in the win. I thought we really competed hard. Our guys battled, head coach Philip Barsky said afterward, citing a fighting penalty by Lou-Félix Deniz in the first period. You see a bunch of scrums after the whistles. Our guys really wanted that. Up next, the Bison will hit the road to play the Cincinnati Cyclones on Washington on Wednesday, followed quickly by a full weekend of hockey at Grossinger Motors Arena. Bloomington hosts the Iowa Heartlanders at 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday, and at 4 p.m. Sunday. Friday's game is pink in the rink, themed, with the Bison wearing special jerseys to be auctioned off after the game. Purdue powers past Michigan for Big Ten title. Chicago, Oscar Clough scored 21 points, Trey Kaufman Wren had 20, and number 8 Purdue topped number 3 Michigan 80-72 on Sunday for the Big Ten championship. Braden Smith had 14 points, 11 assists, and 3 steals, as Purdue, 27-8, added to an impressive turnaround after closing the regular season with 4 losses in 6 games. Fletcher Lawyer made 3 3-pointers and finished with 14 points. Also in the sports section, could the Bears leave Illinois? Indiana makes a play to acquire historic franchise. By John O'Connor. Springfield, Illinois. A turf war over a football team is developing between two Midwestern states with a sometimes discordant history. The storied Chicago Bears want to leave historic Soldier Field, where they've played for half a century. Indiana lawmakers are attempting to lure them from the Windy City with a plan to finance and build a domed stadium in Hammond, Illinois, Indiana, about 25 miles from their current home on Lake Michigan's shore. The Illinois General Assembly has responded with legislation that would give tax breaks to so-called mega projects of at least $100 million, a plan that would encompass the Bears' proposal to build a complex in the northwest Chicago suburb of Arlington Heights, about the same distance from Soldier Field as Hammond. Critics complain it's a bad deal for Illinois, where property taxes are already among the highest in the nation, especially when taxpayers still owe hundreds of millions of dollars on a Soldier Field renovation from 2 decades ago. Here's a look at what's shaping up to be a showdown. Big deal. The Bears, one of only 2 remaining NFL founding members, are legend. Their 9 championships, including a Super Bowl win, are second only to the rival Green Bay Packers, although the recent decades have brought mostly heartbreak. The franchise carries an $8.9 billion price tag, among the most valuable of the NFL's 32 teams. Born in the central Illinois city of Decatur in 1920, the Bears have called Chicago home for 105 years. Losing them to the Hoosier State would be a major thumb in the eye. Soldier Field. With 61,500 seats, it's the NFL's smallest. The Bears have always rented their facilities, the Cubs' Wrigley Field, from 1921 to 1970, and Soldier Field, maintained by the Chicago Park District, since. Most, like most teams, they want to own a stadium, giving them control over operations, scheduling, and revenue streams from ticket sales, concessions, parking, naming rights, and more. And Soldier Field is open air. An enclosed facility would allow for other marquee sporting events, Super Bowls, NCAA Final Fours, or WrestleMania, for instance. Along with the state's established and cultural and economic differences and an intense college basketball rivalry, the political fissure between Democrat-dominated Chicago and conservative Indiana has widened. It amped up last year when Indiana adopted a commission to study changing the state's boundaries to include some central Illinois counties whose voters have approved ballot measures calling for secession from Chicagoland. Arlington Heights. The Bears have threatened to leave Chicago previously. When they broached moving in 1975, then-Mayor Richard J. Daley replied, "Like hell they will." But the city of Big Shoulders heaved an anxious sigh in 2023 when the Bears paid about $200 million for a 326-acre former horse racing track in Arlington Heights. They have envisioned a $5 billion taxpayer-assisted development for a dome stadium and campus of housing, hotels, entertainments, and retail space. In 2024, the Bears offered a $5 billion plan, partially taxpayer-funded, for an enclosed stadium next to Soldier Field, which garnered little interest in the capital of Springfield. Late last fall, the Bears team turned to Indiana. The proposals. Indiana's lure creates the Northwest Indiana Stadium Authority to finance, construct, and lease a domed stadium near Wolf Lake in Hammond. Governor Mike Braun signed it into law on February 26th. The Bears would agree to a 35-year lease. Borrowed state money would cover the as-yet-unknown cost of construction, repaid by increased local hospitality taxes. In Illinois, majority Democrats have advanced legislators in the House that would provide incentives for any so-called mega project of at least $500 million or less, down to $100 million, depending on the number of jobs created. Developers would pay property taxes frozen at the parcel's pre-construction value for as long as 45 years. During that time, they would make annual payments in lieu of taxes negotiated with local governments. There would also be a sales tax exemption on building materials for up to 15 years. Illinois plan. Opponents say the Illinois legislation, with its decade-long property tax freeze, would simply mean increased taxes for homeowners and other businesses. The payment in lieu of taxes would be a bonus. Governor J.B. Pritzker, who supports the plan, last week countered that the proposal would encourage development on land that isn't producing property taxes, while ensuring increased revenue for local governments. Meanwhile, a substantial debt remains on the last accommodation. Taxpayers in 2001 put up $399 million to finance a $587 million renovation on Soldier Field. With interest, the remaining tab is $467 million, according to the state's Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability. The Bears' $7 million annual lease runs through 2033. Breaking the lease would cost the Bears a $10.5 million penalty for each year left on the agreement. Turning to national and world news, the Digest. Israel, attacker related to Hezbollah commander. Jerusalem, the man who attacked a Michigan synagogue was a brother of a Hezbollah commander killed this month in an Israeli airstrike, Israel's military claimed Sunday. Ibrahim Ghazali was killed in the March 5th strike in Lebanon, along with three other relatives of the attacker in Michigan, a week before authorities allege Ayman Mohammed Ghazali drove his car into a major synagogue outside Detroit and killed himself after security fired at him. The Israeli military alleges Ibrahim Ghazali was a Hezbollah commander who managed weapons for a unit that fired rockets at Israel. A Lebanese official who requested anonymity confirmed his death. The FBI's Detroit office, which is investigating the synagogue attack, declined to comment on Israel's claims about Ibrahim Ghazali. Pope calls for ceasefire, references school strike. Rome. Pope Leo XIV demanded a ceasefire in the Middle East on Sunday in his strongest comments to date, directly addressing the leaders who launched the war in Iran. On behalf of the Christians of the Middle East and all women and men of goodwill, I will appeal to those responsible for this conflict, Leo said. Cease fire so that avenues for dialogue may be reopened. Violence can never lead to the justice, stability, and peace that the people are waiting for. Leo didn't cite the United States or Israel by name in his comments at the end of the Sunday noon blessing. But history's first American pope mentioned the attacks that targeted a school, an apparent reference to the missile strike on an elementary school in Iran in the opening days of the war that killed more than 165 people, most of them children. U.S. officials said outdated intelligence likely led to the strike. An investigation is ongoing. Border clashes. Pakistan said Sunday it targeted militant hideouts in Afghanistan's Kandahar region overnight, as the fighting between the two neighbors that started last month shows no sign of abating. Ukraine war. In comments released Sunday, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said he was ready for the next round of peace talks to end Russia's more than four-year invasion of Ukraine, and warned of a very high risk the Iran war could drain air defense stockpiles Ukraine depends on to counter Russian missile strikes. Detained. A Swedish court ordered the detention Sunday of the Russian captain of a ship that was suspected to be sailing under a false flag in the Baltic Sea and was boarded by authorities last week. Peru. Napoleon Becerra, 61, a Peruvian presidential candidate, died Sunday in a car crash on a remote Andean highway while traveling to a political rally. Tensions. Taiwan saw a surge of Chinese military planes near the island. Its defense minister said Sunday, after a sharp drop in flights over the past 2 weeks, sparked discussion among observers. The drop coincided with the annual meeting of China's legislature. While such flights fell in the past, this year's drop was much more prominent. Nepal. A passenger bus carrying Indian pilgrims slipped off a mountain road and rolled down its slopes in central Nepal, killing 7 people and leaving 9 more injured, police said Sunday. Airline CEOs urge Congress to restore DHS funds. New York. The CEOs of the nation's top airline companies, including America, Delta, Southwest, and JetBlue, implored Congress to restore funding to the Department of Homeland Security and embrace a bipartisan solution to pay federal aviation workers, including airport security workers, during the partial government shutdown. Once again, air travel is the political football amid another government shutdown, the executives wrote in an open letter to Congress, published Sunday online and in the Washington Post. The letter, also signed by the CEOs of the cargo companies UPS, FedEx, and Atlas Air, said Congress should pass the Aviation Funding Solvency Act and the Aviation Funding Stability Act, which would guarantee air traffic controllers are paid regardless of the government's funding status, as well as the Keep America Flying Act. That measure would offer the same protections to Transportation Security Administration officials tasked to provide security and to screen all travelers. It's difficult, if not impossible, to put food on the table, put gas in the car, and pay rent when you are not getting paid, the letter said. The current partial shutdown affects only the Department of Homeland Security, which includes TSA. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph, dated Monday, March 16th, 2026. Please stay tuned.